Amen. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising His name. And we're wrapping up our series, Do You Hear What I Hear? Actually, we have Wednesday night where we're going to have our candlelight worship experience at the McKeesport Area School District Auditorium. That's exciting, right? Hope you're all inviting people. We have 1,056 seats we get to fill, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do there. You actually have invites on your seats. Everybody have your invite? All right, we're going to take those ones with you. You're going to invite people, and you're going to get more as you walk out of here, because we're going to have faith for people to accept the invitation. And it's not just so that we can fill seats, it's so we can fill heaven. Amen. That's what we want to see happen. And we're allowed to go into a school that needs Jesus. And we're going to be praying in there. We're going to be worshiping in there. We're going to be believing for God to plant some seeds within that school. And we're believing for a big harvest. So I just want to take a moment and just pray. Can we pray? And we're not praying over these pieces of paper. We're praying over what God's going to do through the invitations. Amen? So, Father God, I thank you for every invitation that's already been extended. I thank you for every invitation that's going to be extended. Lord, I pray for those people, Lord, that are going to fill that place on Wednesday evening. Lord, I pray for those that already do know you. May they grow in their relationship with you. Lord, I pray for those that are going to come to know you, Lord. God, that they would have a supernatural experience with you, Lord. God, that their past would be gone, that they would leave it at the foot of the cross. Lord, I pray that this season would just come alive to them. Lord, that they would recognize why we celebrate. Lord, I pray right now that you would give all of us just the faith to invite. Lord, to step out in faith, not just invite people that we're comfortable with, but maybe to invite somebody that we're not comfortable with. Lord, to step out and knowing that you would meet us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So obviously, this may be your first time here. You may be wondering, why are we singing this song, Do You Hear What I Hear? Because it was written in a time where people needed refocused. It was written in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and people were going through some stuff. You know, whenever you're threatened with nuclear war, you need focused. You need some peace. I don't know, I've never been threatened with nuclear war. I've never gone through a missile crisis, but I would think that I would need focused on peace, and I would need some faith, and I would need refocus. But I've gone through some times of uncertainty. As a matter of fact, I think we're living in times of uncertainty. So I think this series is really timely. We need focused. So I'm going to help paint the picture a little bit today. You ready? How many of you woke up this morning and there was snow on the ground? The snow monster. Everybody woke up like, I'm just going to mail it in this morning. You know what? We got church online. Not scrape the car off, just stay in bed, all warm and cozy, right? I probably would have had those same feelings if I didn't wake up and not realize it snowed. I woke up at 5:15 and went downstairs and did my normal thing and then had a video conference call, and then I found out it snowed. So that feeling just completely skipped me because I didn't know it snowed, but I would have felt the same way you did. But I just want to paint the picture here. I want to get us into a mindset. So let's do this. How many of you ever played football before? I'm talking American football, not that soccer stuff. Okay. How many of you ever watched a football game before? How many of you know what football is? All right, we got everybody covered right now, okay? So let's just imagine for a second we're playing football on a cold, snowy day at Heinz Field. Yes, it's called Heinz Field, okay? I'm not gonna try to say the other one, whatever it is, okay? I'm cool with change. I'm okay with change. I just don't know what it is, okay? Whatever. All right, here we go. We're on the field. It's snowy, it's cold. Eventually it gets really muddy, right? You had to change your spikes, but you're getting hit. Okay, now up above the field is called what? A press box. The owner's boxes, right? They're nice and warm. There's food. Everybody looks all prim and proper, right? That's where the owners sit. or the luxury boxes. I've never had the ability to sit in one of them at a Steeler game, but I'm going to one day. One day I'm going to sit in one of those in Jesus' name. Okay, we'll talk about more later. But sometimes we can feel like that's what God's doing. We're the players down on the field. We're getting our brains beat in, right? We're getting hit from every angle. Some of us are in the concussion protocol. We're getting carted off the field. And God's just up there in a press box, nice heated area, all you can eat, and we're just down on the field getting crushed. And he's just watching. But here's Christmas. Christmas is Jesus getting put into the game. Christmas is Jesus coming down onto the field and not just standing on the sideline coaching and screaming in the plays. No, Jesus is in the huddle. Jesus is standing next to you. Jesus is standing next to you when the plays are being called. Jesus is on the line with you. Jesus is in the backfield with you. Jesus is running down the field with you. That's what Christmas is. Jesus is getting muddy now. He's getting dirty. When you get hit, he gets hit. As a matter of fact, he got hit before you. Everything you're experiencing, he experienced it first. We don't have to walk alone. We're not playing alone anymore. Concerning your home, your life, your children, your marriage, your future marriage, your future children. You're not handcuffed by anxiety or fear anymore. You're not hamstrung by it. There's no fear. You can be confident in your decisions that you're running the right play because he gave you the playbook and he's telling you the play to run. Hey, you're supposed to be cutting this way. Or hey, you blocked a little wrong on that one. You're supposed to zig, you should have zagged. You get to walk in victory now. You get to know that you have a number one draft pick, a blue chip. Imagine we're the Steelers for a second. We don't have to hope that Kenny Pickett's going to be good. We don't have to imagine like, oh, is Rudolph going to play today? Is Trubisky going to do anything well? We don't have to think about the good old days when Roethlisberger could run. He could throw the ball still. Or back in the day when Carr did it all. You know what? You know what's amazing? No one says that Tomlin's winning with Cowher's players anymore because he's losing now. No one says Tomlin's losing with Cowher's players anymore. It's amazing. Anyways, let's just keep going. Well, sometimes we can feel like, where is God? He's on the field with you. But do you know that? Do you feel that? Do you understand it? Do you know what I know? Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king. Do you know what I know? In your palace, warm, mighty king. Do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let's turn to our text today. Philippians 2, 5 through 6. Verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Like I said earlier, I never had the opportunity to sit in one of those executive boxes at Heinz Field. I will one day. I'm going to sit in one of those at Heinz Field. I've sat in the luxury seats at Heinz Field before, where you get to go in the club where there's heat and stuff, but I've never sat in the boxes. I will one day. But I did at PNC Park. Sat in UPMC's suite. I feel like I should be a part owner of UPMC's suite at this point. I'm a huge investor in what they do now. But I had no business being in this suite. My buddy and I went, and all the other people in there were, you know, talking about their investments and their portfolios and their stocks. And my buddy and I were there to watch the baseball game and enjoy the free food and the fact that there was a bathroom in the suite and we didn't have to go with the commoners. And these people are talking, and I'll never forget, my buddy looked at me. He's like, "How's your portfolio doing?" I said it to him, and he's like, "Yeah, it's rolling over, you know, standard stuff." And these people are like, "What are these people doing here? They should not be in here." But anyways, that's where Jesus had that. He had everything. He had it all. Every comfort, every amenity, every luxury you could think of. And he left it all for you and me. And for everybody outside of these walls. He held on to none of it. And said, "You know what? I'm going to go play. Put me in. Put me in the game. I want to go get muddy. I want to go get messy. Let me go get hit for a little while." I see what's going on down there. I'm tired of watching. I think I could fix things. Jesus didn't cling to the luxury of the press box, of the owner's suite. He took on an attitude, the correct attitude, to bring joy and hope and peace. You know, every single year, it's seamless. I get my wife to go shopping, or at least go to a shopping environment the weekend before Christmas, and I did it again yesterday. I tricked her. We went to Westmoreland Mall the Saturday before Christmas. We pulled into the parking lot, and she said, "How do you do this every year?" I said, "I did it." We walk in. It's packed, and I love it. People everywhere. And I'm a people watcher, and within 10 seconds, I could tell whether or not somebody has the right attitude, if they have hope or joy and peace, and I could tell if somebody's anxious or fearful. I could tell. I could just see it. People are watching you. They see you. When you hand them that invite, they're going to know what it's coming from. They're going to know the attitude behind it. Philippians 2:7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. Here we go. Do you know what I know? When it comes to Jesus, so many people think they know, but actually, you know, most Americans, they don't know. In 2020, Newsweek did a poll, and they found that 33% of evangelicals said that Jesus isn't God. You believe that? 33% of evangelicals said that Jesus isn't God. That's amazing. There's so many people that think they know and they have no idea. Because they don't ask more questions. They don't ask. Jesus came to earth in the most humble of circumstances. He didn't come to be the most politically connected. He didn't come to do anything but change the world so that you and I could be connected with God, to be back in the presence of God. It's so easy to overlook the humble means that Jesus came into. Bring him silver and gold, the song says, Matthew 2:11. They entered the house and saw the child and his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These gifts weren't just something that they picked up at CVS on the way. It wasn't something that they just stopped at Walgreens and said, we have a coupon, we'll pick this up. This wasn't something that they just were at Target and it was in the dollar spot. They don't even call it the dollar spot anymore. I don't even know what it's called, but it's the spot that I have to stand at for hours while my wife walks around the same 5 feet section. Over. And over and over and over again. I like that section. I do. But I like the rest of the store more. I love you. I will stand in that section forever. I just like movement. These gifts represented something. They represented his royalty. They represented his divinity. They represented his humanity. They knew who Jesus was. They knew. How did they know? Because the scripture told them. The scripture gave a record, not only his birth, but that it was going to happen. Luke 1:1-4, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you will be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Let's go to Genesis 3:15. And I will put open hostility between you and the woman and between your seed, the offspring, and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head and you shall only bruise his heel. Isaiah 7:14. All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is 700 years before the birth. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Church, there was predictions, there was prophecies of Jesus' birth and life. Over 300 of them. I want you to catch this. The chances of fulfilling only 8 of these prophecies are 1 in 1 and a lot of zeros. 10 to the 17th power. Do you know what the odds of that are? Let's say it together. Impossible. But you serve a God of the impossible. Impossible is not even in his vocabulary. what you are going through may seem impossible. What you feel like you're going through on the field right now may feel impossible. That hit you just took may feel impossible. That play that you're running right now may feel impossible. That thing that you're going through may feel absolutely impossible, but it's not, because of who you got playing with you and going with you and running with you. Who's on your team? You have the greatest of all time on your team. You think Tom Brady was good? He's washed up. And I'm serious. I will admit that he is the greatest of all time quarterback. Well, I'll admit it, but he's washed up now. I will admit that Michael Jordan was the greatest of all time, but he got washed up. He should have never played for the Washington Wizards. Should have never did it. Ever. Even the greatest of all time run out. Shaq was the most dominant big man of all time. He should have never played for the Celtics. He should have never played for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He should have never played for the Phoenix Suns. Even the greatest of all time or the most dominant run out. God will never run out. He will never stop being the God of the impossible. He will never stop winning. Your teammate will never stop. He'll never run out. That play you're running right now, he won't quit. He'll never stop. How can anyone think that Jesus just happened? That he just happened to be in the right place at the right time? It is not a coincidence. Jesus is not just a coinkydink. It didn't just happen. The incarnation, Jesus in the flesh, is the most miraculous thing our world has ever seen. 1 Timothy 3:16, without question, this is the greatest mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory. Jesus came in the flesh revealed, and he chose to become flesh. He chose to leave the press box. Vindicated, righteous, justified. He was cleared of all charges. Jesus came as a human. And guess what? He felt what you feel. You better believe he was tired. He was tempted. He was tried. He felt what you feel and what you may be feeling. The emotions that we go through, some of us on a daily basis, Jesus would have felt them. You can't tell me that Jesus didn't feel lonely. You can't tell me that Jesus never had a moment where he could have experienced frustration, where fear might have crept into his mind or he felt it. You can't tell me that Jesus may or may not have felt let down by others. But he embodied his deity. He was perfect. If you want to know God, look at Jesus. Look at your teammate. Let's keep going. Before we get there, I just want to take a moment, just pause and remember that Christmas really, it's just the sign that God's heard us. God heard us. He hears us and he sees us. And he gave us the greatest draft pick of all time. Number one. And we're winning. Hebrews 4:15-16. Jesus understands every weakness of ours. Every one of them. Because he was tempted in every way that we are. But he did not sin. So whenever we are in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There we'll be treated with undeserved grace, and we will find help. I said it during the first worship experience, so Rachel's already aware, but I gave my Christmas list, what I want for Christmas, and all I really want is for on Wednesday night for people to, so many people to just receive that undeserved, unmerited, unearned grace, for them to unwrap that gift for the first time. That's what I want. That's all I want. Now I know that I'm going to get something for my bike for Christmas because Lennon told me. He showed me the box. He said, "That's yours, Dada." Yeah. The shipping label said where it was from. As my little boy, he takes care of me. Rachel found out during the first worship experience that I know. She's not going to have to wrap that one now. Don't return it either. I want that, and on Wednesday night, I want. But seriously, I want people to understand that Jesus, he knows what we're going through because he went through it. He went through it first. Every bump in the road, every time we feel like we're getting hit, he got hit first. Every cut, every bruise, every bump in the road, he went through it. What sets Christianity apart from other world religions? Here we go. God came to us. Fully God, fully man. We can't earn it. We can't earn our salvation. It's a gift. Our relationship with God is a gift. We can't earn it, and we don't deserve it. Lastly, the resurrection. He beat death. Conquered it. And now we get to walk in that power every single day. We get to have a swagger knowing that we're undefeated. Might take some little losses here and there, but the war's won. Philippians 2:8, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Born as a child, born into poverty in an oppressed place, lived in obscurity. 30 years of waiting, working as a carpenter before he launched his ministry. I heard something this week for the first time. Somebody in my connection group actually said, you know, when I was a kid, I thought Jesus, how small he probably was because of the short time between Christmas and Easter. How small he must have been. And why people had trouble believing he was God, because he grew so quickly. What kids think? And I didn't confirm with this man whether or not he was still a kid when he thought this. I should have. 30 years before he launched his ministry. Obedience to the Father all the while. Submission to the Holy Spirit. You better believe there was temptation. We know there was hunger. We know there was thirst. We know there was emotions. We know that he experienced the most excruciating death. We know that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that they mocked him and they hurled insults at him. We know that they shouted at him. We know that he was nailed to a cross. We know that they divided his clothes and beat him, cast lots. We know all of this. Well, we now know that we get to walk in victory. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, because of all of that, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It's my prayer. It's my prayer. I pray that you guys join in, that we really do get to see everyone bow and worship. All the people we're praying for, all the people we're believing for, that we would see the community around us all bow and worship him. Our communities need it. Not just White Oak and McKeesport and the surround. Our city needs it. Our state needs it. The Northeast needs it. The country needs it. But let's just start here in this room. Which way are you running? Are you running the plays with God, or are you running the opposite direction? In preparing for this message and praying, I couldn't get this picture out of my head when we hit this point. Most of you, I'm assuming, have seen the movie Forrest Gump. Y'all seen it? If you haven't, it's a pretty decent flick. Tom Hanks is in it. You heard of him, Tom Hanks? Anyone? There's a portion in the movie where he's playing football for Alabama. Roll Tide. And he runs his play, and then he just keeps running through the band, through the tunnel, and he never stops. And he just keeps running and running and running and running and running and then, like, running. And then eventually he stops. I forget why he stops. But which way are you running? Are you running with God, or are you running the opposite direction? Because eventually you're going to get tired. Eventually you're going to wear out. I can't answer that question for you. Most likely, the person sitting next to you really can't answer that question either. I mean, your spouse can tell you whether or not you're running with God or away from him, because you guys should be running together. But your friends could fake it. They could think you're running with him, and you're really not. Or vice versa. Let's start to land the plane here. Last portion of the song, said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring goodness and light. He will bring goodness and light. Church, all we have to do is we need to hear him. We need to believe him. and we need to obey him. This is where we started this whole entire series. And I want to let you know that I want this to stick. And somebody said to me, oh, if you would have said it that way, it would have stuck. So here we go. I'm going to say it this way. HBO is really expensive. But when it comes to Jesus, you don't need a subscription. He'll give you this HBO stuff for free. It's not a paid cable station. You can hear him for free. You could believe him for free. You could obey him for free. You don't have to have a subscription like HBO. But it eventually is going to cost you. It's going to cost you a lot of time. It's going to cost you all of your talent. And it's going to cost you some of your treasure. But what's your response going to be? What's your response to God going to be during this season, during this time? I just want to pray through this final verse that we're going to read together today. Isaiah 6, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you're in this room today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your counselor, as your God, as the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future, I want today to be your day. If you don't have a day, place, a moment where you've received the greatest gift that's ever been given to you in the world. Where you know where you've ran into his arms. I want today to be your day. And I want you to do maybe one of the most bravest things you've ever done. And that's slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't know if I'm running the plays with you. I know I'm on the field, but I don't know if I'm running with you. Anyone at all here today, you need today to be your day where you receive him as Lord and Savior. Maybe you once received him as your Lord and Savior, but you ran away and you want to run back into his arms. You want to rededicate your life to him today. Today could be your day. December 18th, 2022. Anyone at all today? Stand to our feet, church. I just want to start to wrap up our time today, and I believe that we all are in a place where we're celebrating the fact that we know that he's on the field with us. We know why we're celebrating Christmas today. Not today, this date, but this season. We know that Christmas represents that he's with us. And we know that we get to celebrate the fact that we have a king. We have a mighty counselor, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. So let's worship. Let's worship, church, knowing why we're worshiping.
Let the King